Good morning. Good to see so many assembled with us today. We've had several who are traveling away from us, but we have many of you here today who are visiting with us, some regular visitors from time to time, and we're thankful for your presence, and you're always welcome to be with you, whether you've been here several times before or this is your first time. We invite you to come back and come back often. Want to speak to you this morning about the identity and the importance of truth. You remember that when Jesus was being tried by Pilate, or at least being heard by Pilate in private conversation with Pilate, Jesus said, "I came to bear witness of the truth." And Pilate says, "What is truth?" We even live in a society today, in an age today, that asks that question: what is truth? How do you know what truth is? Well, it's not a rhetorical question. We can know what truth is in so many different areas, and including in the area of that which is spiritual. I want you to notice just a few things to begin with here. In John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, or you are my true disciples. Can someone be a false disciple? Can someone claim to be a disciple? You know, the word disciple means a learner, a follower. Can someone claim to be a learner of Christ and not be a learner of Christ? Shake your heads this way. Yeah. If we're not abiding in his word, you're not learning about Christ. You're not learning about God. You're not learning about salvation. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth. Not a truth, not my truth, the truth. Abiding in the word of God, we will know the truth about God, about Jesus, about ourselves, about salvation, about worship, about all spiritual matters. And when the word of God addresses matters of science, you will know the truth, the scientific truth that it speaks to. Anything that the Word of God addresses, it speaks the truth on it. And the truth will make you free. If you want free from your sins, you want free to know God, to be the person that God created you to be, to break free of the shackles of being carnally minded and carnally focused, and to be focused on our spiritual purpose, we must abide in the Word, and we will know the truth. And as Jesus prayed to his Father on the night before his crucifixion, he prayed, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth." God's word is truth. And Jesus said, "Abide in my word, and you will know the truth." James 1 and verse 18, "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." We have to hear this word of truth in order to be born of the water and of the Spirit. But I want you primarily to emphasize here that he brought us forth by the word of, how does he describe it? The word of truth. And so the word of God is identified as truth. Abiding in the truth of God's word makes us free. Free from our sin, free from ourselves, our carnal self. Abiding in the Word of God sanctifies. We are sanctified by the Word of truth, John 17:17. And we are brought forth by the Word of truth, James 1:18. Those who love and respect the truth linger long at its fountain and drink deeply of its living waters. Psalm 1, in the first two verses, says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." If we have a delight in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God, we will be reading it, studying it, meditating on it. And as we noticed this morning in our adult Bible class, practicing, using it in our lives. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The Word of God is not something that we can take for granted. We can't assume that we know the will of God. We can't assume that we know what the Word of God says. We must be diligent to present ourselves approved to God. How can I know if I'm approved by God or not? We must be rightly dividing this word of truth. We must be practicing it as it has been delivered to us. Notice he says rightly dividing the word of truth. Can the word of truth be wrongly divided? Yeah. Yes, it can. And if it's wrongly divided, are we practicing the word of truth? Nope. Give diligence to present yourself approved to God. Rightly divide the word of truth. To resist the truth, any truth, does great harm to oneself. If you resist and negate the scientific truth of physics, you're going to get hurt or worse. If you jump off a building thinking that you can fly, you're going to get hurt or killed, because gravity always works. Any truth, you violate any truth, you do harm to yourself. But that especially applies spiritually. To resist and reject the words of he who is truth is utter disaster. Proverbs 28 verse 9 says, "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, is an abomination." Well, I don't want to read the Word of God. I want to read something else. I want to do something else. I want to watch something else. If you read the Word of God and it says something, you don't like what it says, and you turn your ear away from it, you're going to pretend you didn't hear that, because you don't want to do that. It says, even your prayer is an abomination. God says, if you won't listen to me, why should I listen to you? I'm the creator, you're the created. John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." Don't turn your ear away from the Word of God. So our response to the Word of God is the determining factor in our salvation. Do I love it? Am I going to turn to it? Am I humbly going to turn to it so that I might practice it and glorify God in my life? Or am I going to turn away from it? If we gladly receive it, as those did, as did the believers on Pentecost, we will respect, love, and obey it. Those that gladly received his word the first time the gospel was preached and declared unto them that this Jesus, who you have crucified, is both Lord and Christ, they were pricked in their heart and they said, "What shall we do?" And the divine answer was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Those that gladly received his word were baptized. We are to gladly receive the word of God. Respect it, love it, and obey it. If we doubt, spurn, and reject God's word of truth, we condemn ourselves to its judgment. John 12 and verse 48, we noticed just a little bit ago, but notice it again. "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in his last day." That sounds so foreign to so many people today and what they believe, what they've heard, what they've been taught. Many people today believe that, well, everybody's going to be saved. Being judged? God's not going to judge anyone. Well, who are you listening to? Jesus said, going to be judged on the last day. Judged by what? The word that I have spoken, the word of God. Don't turn away from it. Listen to it and practice it. John 14 and verse 6, of course, a very familiar passage to us where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." In Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it." How narrow is this way that leads unto life? I am the way, not a way, not a way, not some way. I am the way, the only way. I am the truth. Not my truth, not a truth. I am the truth. I am the life. If you want to have life, he says, you'll find it in me and no place else. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, that sounds pretty narrow-minded, doesn't it? Well, that's just the nature of truth when you think about it. Truth, that which is truly truth, is narrow. There is a limit to what you can do in the physical world. There is a limit to what you can do in the spiritual world. And we need to recognize that and practice it for our safety, our spiritual safety. In Matthew 23 and verses 37 through 39, as Jesus came to Jerusalem that last time before his crucifixion, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her." What are the prophets doing? What did the prophets... Well, the prophets spoke the word of God. What did Jerusalem, what did the citizens of Jerusalem What have they been doing? We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear what the prophets say. We don't want to hear about judgment of God. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but you were not willing. You ever taken care of chickens? I never have until this past week. Our neighbor went on an extended vacation, and so we're watching the chickens, feeding the chickens and stuff. I went out last night to close up the chicken coop, and one of the chickens has some little ones. And it's kind of, all of the rest of the hens, they're all up in the, what I call the bedroom, I guess you might say. They're in an enclosed area, they're one way in and so forth. But she's down in the, it's a protected area of the chicken coop, but you can see in there and everything. And she's in there in the corner, but actually in the corner are her little ones. She's got them in there and protected. They're a little bit too big to be under her wings, but she's still protecting them. Jesus says, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen or chicks under her wings. How would he do that? By his word, by the words of the prophets, but they were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more. Till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God is grieved when we reject his truth. And we do ourselves great temporal and eternal harm. We see him when we acknowledge his blessings. The word of truth. You will see me no more. Till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Not to the prophets, don't talk to us, we don't want to hear that. No, it's when we want to hear. We want to hear what the word of God has to say to us. Then we will see him with our eyes. He's not talking about with our eyes, he's talking about spiritually seeing him as he is. And seeing ourselves as we are and as he would have us to be. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Why are we here? Why did God create us? What's the meaning of life? Well, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Revere God. Hold Almighty God in reverence. Bow down yourself to him. Submit to him. Glorify him. For this is man's all. Keep his commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let the word of God examine the deepest recesses of your soul. And let your soul respond to the light of his truth and come to it. To practice it. Proverbs 28 and verse 14 says, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. As long as we revere God, always revering God's word, even when God's word corrects us, chastises us, and we say, I don't want to be told that I'm wrong, but I'm wrong. You know, not only do I not want to be told that I'm wrong, more importantly, I want to be told what is right. I want to practice what is right. I want to do the will of God and glorify him by practicing it. In Hebrews chapter 3, we've been studying the Hebrew letter in our adult class on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And so for those of you in class, I remind you of what we saw in chapter 3 in verses 5 through 11. For those who haven't been in the class, take a look at this. Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. Moses the children of Israel, that was all a type of what God intended for us to see in the church. And Moses was faithful. In other words, Moses did what God told him to do. He revered God. He kept his commandments. He led the people in the word of truth. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Where does that for hope come from? It comes from hearing the word of God, the promises of God. It comes from knowing his commandments and knowing that you're abiding in those commandments. We are his house if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Don't go back. Stay with Christ. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The principle applies today. Do you know his ways? Do you want to know his ways? If you know his ways, will you practice his way and depart from your way? He says, they always go astray in their heart. He's speaking of Israel, but all of humanity is the same. They always go astray in their heart. What about you? Where's your heart? Is your heart on course and in agreement with the revealed truth of God's word? Are you off course? Are you going astray in your heart? Are you following what feels right and seems right to you rather than what God reveals to be right? I swore in my wrath. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. They shall not enter into my rest. Know his ways. Practice his ways. Despite all the loving and logical warnings, people continue to follow their own inclinations rather than the revealed truth found in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 2, God says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts. Does that sound like what Jesus said when he came to Jerusalem? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. I have stretched out my hands to a rebellious people. Though they rebel against me, I still stretched out my hand to them. I still reached out to them. I still reached out to them with my word. I sent my prophets to them to call them unto me. And the safety that is found in me. But they walk in a way that is not good. They walk according to their own thoughts rather than the revealed thoughts of God, the revealed truth of God. Romans 1 and verses 21 and 22, Paul wrote and says, although they knew God, they knew that God was God. They knew that God existed. They couldn't deny the design of creation and that such design demands a designer. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. professing to be wise, they became fools. Rather than hearing the truth revealed by God, they just thought, well, God's got his truth and I've got my truth, and certainly my truth is as good as God's truth. No, that's pretty foolish thinking. Pretty foolish thinking. Acts 18 and verse 6 talks about the fact they opposed themselves, the Jews in Corinth, when they heard the gospel of Christ, the leaders of the Jews in Corinth. They opposed themselves and they blasphemed and they shook their garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on I go to the Gentiles." That was the pattern of the apostles as they went from city to city taking the gospel of Christ, and that city hearing it for the first time. They would go to the Jews first. They would go into the synagogue. They would teach the rulers of the Jews and the people in the synagogues. But as they came to Corinth, the leaders of the Jews blasphemed and said, "We're not going to hear this. We're not going to believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, that he died on a cross for our sins, that he rose from the dead the third day. We're not going to listen to that. We're not going to hear that the priesthood has been changed, and we're not going to hear any of that." And so Paul shook his garments and said that the fact of shaking your garments, or Jesus said, "Shake the dust off of your feet. Don't take anything of theirs. Leave even the dust, their dust with them. And move on." Your blood be upon your own heads. If you're not going to hear the word of truth, your blood be upon your own heads. Romans 10 in the first three verses, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Israel, for Israel, is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Do you know anybody like that? Who has a zeal for God, but they don't practice the revealed truth. They don't know the truth of God's word, or they've rejected the truth of God's word. They said, "Well, this is how I'm going to worship God. I know what the New Testament says, but this is what I'm going to do. Or I know what the Bible says about being saved, but I'm not going to do that. This is what I'm going to do." But they have a zeal for God. Have a blessed day. Praise be to Jesus. It's heard in their conversation all the time. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Don't want to be there. God's revealed his righteousness for us to practice so that we might glorify him in the practice thereof. 2 Timothy 4 and verses 2 through 4. Timothy was told, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." Open season. "Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." You know what a fable is, right? Fable is something somebody just makes up. You know, you've got Aesop's fables and all these different fables, you know, just a story, just kind of nice little story. They turn their ears away from the truth and practice fables, stuff people's made up. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verses 10 and through 12, it says, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they may all be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. You're going to believe something. It's your choice as to whether you believe and practice the truth or reject it. But those who reject it are going to be condemned by God. You don't want to be found in that group. Do you have the heart of Pharaoh? A heart that was set against doing what God sent word for him to do? You remember that story? Moses was sent to say, let my people go. Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let these people go. All right, well, 10 plagues, you remember those? Pharaoh said, okay, I'll let him go. And even when he let him go, he resented the fact that he did and tried to go back and get him. That didn't turn out too good for him. Are you always rejecting the Word of God, or will you open your heart to it today? Do you have the heart of those that we saw on Pentecost? Those whose hearts were pricked. Those who gladly received His Word and obeyed it. The truth sets you free. Abide in my word. You will be my true disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. It's found in the word of God. So let us be careful to hear it, believe it, trust it, and most importantly, live by it. For we shall be judged by it. Where do you stand today? Are you accepting it, embracing it, enjoying the protection that is found under the wings of God in His Word? Or are you outside His sphere of protection and are subject to His judgment and His wrath? Those that gladly received His Word on the day of Pentecost were baptized. Will you be? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Will you? Will you abide in His Word and be a true disciple of Christ from this day forward? If you're ready to abandon your sin and to live for Christ, practice His righteousness in your life, and embrace the abundant life that Jesus came to give us here and hereafter, we'd encourage you to let it be known. We're ready to assist you in your obedience to Christ today. Be baptized for the remission of his sins. And rise to walk in newness of life. And if you're here today as a child of God, out of favor with him, James tells us to confess our faults to one another and to pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?